welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Friday. It's the weekend, the Friday before the NFL playoffs. First
wild card weekend,
NFL
baby.
Playoffs, wild card.
Hype.
So I'm I'm Ray. That's Tall Ray side.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Tay, Eric Taylor, and we're hyped up. You know, we always get sad when the NFL season ends, but it also means wild card weekend and the playoffs begin. So, you know, we've got a great show for you. Ray will break it down. And I got to tell you, you just hit us up and have fun and join us, right? 718-664-9098. You want to get at us. The email is rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Same with the Twitter and the Facebook. Tweet at us. Check out the iTunes podcast, you know, even for you people who have Apple TV, you know, research it. Check us out. And it's rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. So, Ray, break the show down.
So we got a good show today. As we always do at the top of the show, we go breaking news. A lot of news about NFL head coaches and what's going on there. We'll get into really quick the Fiesta Bowl, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl last night.
Yeah, man. Out here in Glendale.
Yep, out there in Arizona. We'll do a quick run around the NBA. And then we'll talk NFL playoffs, wild card weekend. We got games on Saturday and Sunday, four great games, three rookie quarterbacks starting. And there we go. We got a great Friday show for you. So, Tay, start us off with the breaking news.
Well, you know, hey, there's a lot. I got to just, you know, get some of this minor stuff out of the way real quick, you know, out of the way real quick. Hockey, talks break off, coming back on. They're going to meet. They're trying to do a 50-game season, maybe a 48-game season. We'll see what happens. It looks like Jarvis Jones is going to declare for the NFL draft. That should be kind of interesting, you know, big defensive talent. Our boy Dominic McGuire in the NBA, he got waived from the Hornets. He can't stay with any team, Raptors, Hornets, nowhere. So feel bad for him. Then there's rumors that the Grizzlies are kind of shopping our boy Rudy Gay around. That could get interesting, and we could see, you know, some trades, especially starting, you know, January 15th when this whole base salary thing comes into play, and, you know, for the salary cap gurus, they understand all that. And the Jets have reported that. Yeah, yeah, and the Jets are reporting that, hey, whoever the next GM is, he's got to keep Rex for at least 1 year. Which makes sense anyway, you know. Obviously out here, Ray, you know, our boy, who, you know, we'll talk about it, our boy Chip Kelly, he's meeting with Cleveland, Philly, and Cleveland and the Bills, and I think Philly tomorrow, yeah, so They flew to Arizona. They're like, hey, we're in town. The Browns are putting on the full court press. They're extremely serious. You know, I saw them down at the bagel shop at Einstein Bagels. They were there, you know, talking and getting it together. For all you Arizona folks out here, you know the deal with that. Our boy Mike McCoy.
They're getting a schmear on.
Listen, you got to. You got to, Ray. Mike McCoy, the coordinator, who, gosh, Manning can make people stars. But this guy was big last year for the Broncos, right, the OC. He is going to interview with the Bills, Cardinals, and Eagles. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Things are hyping up. Well, now, you got some news from Oregon. What'd you hear? If this guy leaves, who's going to take over?
Well, if Chip Kelly leaves, then Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, is just going to slide right in to be the head coach. Now, Chip Kelly's pretty young. He's in his late 40s. Mark Helfrich is 30. Is 39. So he was born in 73.
Don't tell me that. You know, listen, guys younger than Ray and Tay got these jobs. It makes me and Ray, it hurts us. Because honestly, I'll be honest with you, right? Ray and I, we could be GMs for an NFL or NBA team. Not to toot our own horn, but that's just our mentality, you know, our dedication. If that was our focus, I really think that we could do an excellent job with a professional franchise in either of those two sports. But, you know, we're not going to get into all that right now. Also, Oh, man, there was something else I was going to tell you. Oh, we got to give a shout-out to Lillard and Bradley Beal. They were the rookies of the month of December for the East and West in the NBA. So that's definitely a good look.
Good young guards.
Yeah, and I guess we should just get into it. Well, Scott Pioli was sort of they agreed to, you know, both mutually agreed to step down, and Andy Reid is the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Your Kansas City Chiefs are now coached by Andy Reid. It's kind of funny how in football you can get fired basically for having a bad year. Now, not to say that Andy Reid is not a great coach, but he gets fired and then he gets rehired, you know, a week later, $7 million, gets to get rid of the GM, and basically gets to carte blanche to bring all the
to get the band back together
that he wants to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He wants Castillo to do the offensive line. He's trying to get Morningwig for the OC. He's trying – I forgot who he's trying to get a defense. And it
Childress,
looks
right?
like – say it again?
Oh, no. Is it Morningwig? Okay, well, I thought it was going to be Morningwig or Childress.
No, Childress would be defense. I don't know if he can get Childress. But also, it looks like for the sort of GM position and someone he would work with – everybody thought it would be the guy that he worked with, I forgot his name, Mark so-and-so, who's now at Cleveland. It looks like he's going to go get the guy at Green Bay to work with him. So that should be – it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. Look, the Chiefs, you know, 2-14, five Pro Bowlers, you know, Bo, good defense, young safety in Barry. You've got Charles, Peyton Hillis.
But is he going to be able to use Jamal Charles? I mean, is he going to be able to fully extract the value that Jamal Charles rushed 1,500 yards. I mean, he's legitimate, but he's a beast like a straight-up runner. You don't have to do gimmicks. You do off-tackle. You hit the A-gap. You go up the middle, you know, to the
edge.
You know,
we both feel the same way about Andy Reid and his play calling, so who knows what's going to happen. The interesting debate is he going to do 4-3 or 3-4, you know. And looking at the talent, they've got, you know, a couple, you know, obviously Tom Valley and Dorsey, they got some defense. They'll probably do
Barry
a 4-3.
In the secondary, yeah. They've got, yeah, you know, I guess it depends on the defensive coordinator. He'll ultimately have to make the decision if you're going with a 4-3 or a 3-4. But it's not a bad – defensively, not a bad team to inherit. Great fans in Kansas City. So how long is the deal, did they say? I didn't see it, I don't know.
Yeah, no,
years,
it's not official. For some reason, I was thinking 7 years, but I'm not too sure on that. I don't think, you know, because they're just signing the paperwork. So I saw, you know, NFL Network, the helicopters and all this foolishness. So, I mean, it's still being pounded out, but he's got carte blanche, and he is the sole controller. You know what I'm saying? He's controlling it out. Shout out to my boys down in Maryland at WMUC, the sole controllers, you know. The J and Shortcut, yeah, man. You know,
well, speaking of control, there's Janet Jackson, there's Molly Mall, and then on the opposite side of that spectrum is Mike Mularkey. He is not in control.
Losing. Yeah.
Because.
Well, do you think he's going to get the boot?
Well, they're saying, well, they let the GM go. So they're saying that the new GM is going to control his fate. But that's a weird way to go, though. I mean,
very weird. And they better hurry up.
Yeah,
look,
because
there were seven jobs, right?
And now, this week.
Right. One job's already filled up. So, I mean, and there's rumors about two more potential, three firings. We're not, you know, there's still some questions in Dallas, but really there's more questions with Carolina and Rivera. And Mularkey and Jacksonville, but don't you think they got to hurry up?
Of course. I mean, the only thing that's saving them, I guess, is that the college season just ended. If you want to get a college guy, you got to get him now because the college guys take about a day, and then they got to go on the recruiting trips and get those kids to sign those letters of intent and really seal the deal on the recruiting class coming in if people are still you know, out there to be had. The other thing is your playoff teams. So the wild card round is this weekend. So you could talk to people that lose in the wild card round, but you need to talk now to the teams that have the buys. So if you want somebody from Atlanta, from Denver, from, you know, Green Bay, from the Patriots, now is the time you got to talk to them, because you got to wait. You have this window of this week, because next week you can't talk to them anymore. So you got to get your act together as soon as. That's why as soon as the season ends,
and you know,
these teams fire their coaches so they can start talking.
And you know,
to
Todd Haley was granted permission by the Steelers to talk to the Arizona Cardinals. I got
to
tell you,
I think the Steelers
would
be happy to get rid of Todd Haley. I think that ultimately.
Let me tell you, I would be happy to get rid of him. I don't think it was horrible. I just don't know if it was the right fit for us. But I got to tell you, if I'm the Cardinals, no. Ray Horton. I don't think Haley is, you know, he didn't do well at Kansas City.
He's head coach
and I know he
material.
Was. Yeah, he's not head coach material. He's an OC, and he's, you know, he's real nasty and ornery even as an OC. So to me, I'm just like, no. But for the Steelers, yeah, I'll be happy. He said bye bye. You know? I think Bruce Arians could
Ben,
get.
I
could see Bruce Arians at San Diego or even at Arizona. I just, to me, honestly, Coach of the Year, and by the way, the NFL honors will be on again this year, and that's February 2nd. So Ray and Tay will give out our awards, you know, probably that last show in January, just, you know, to give you all a heads up. You know, we like to give out our picks right before the league announces them, so, you know. They do a great job with the whole broadcast they did last year, and they'll do that again this year, the NFL honors. But I got to say, Todd Haley, like, oh, my gosh, like, that's not the move for the Cardinals. I think Arians or Leslie Frazier should be a coach of the year, and Bruce Arians needs to be a head coach. He's paid his dues, and he is just a great leader, you know. And look at the magic he's done with Manning and with Big Ben, and now with Andrew Luck this year. You know,
yeah, I have nothing but good words to say about Arians. I mean, I don't know why he's not a head coach right now, especially given what he's been doing this year. And think about the non-football related stuff, right? You've got a new quarterback taking over for Peyton Manning. So there's obviously the X's and O's, but then there's the sort of coaching and shepherding of Andrew Luck. And, of course, when Pagano, you know, announces the cancer and taking over the team and then leading the team to the playoffs. And this is after a 2-14 season, right? He didn't inherit the 94 Niners, right? This guy.
No. But they were better than 2-14. Let's be real. I mean, even with, you know, Mathis, Bethea, Freeney, and Reggie Wayne, you're a little bit better than 2-14.
Okay. But they weren't with a rookie quarterback. Nobody expected them to be this good.
Oh, no, definitely not.
And then losing
definitely
your coach, it could have gone the other way. It could have
easily gone
the other way, losing Pagano and then taking a nosedive and, you know, losing 5 out of 6 and then not making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a great NFL story. It really is. And, you know, we'll see as that stuff goes on. But, yeah, man, let's take it on to Fiesta Luego. You know, let's rock out here in Glendale last night. I mean, it almost just ended right off the kickoff, right? I mean, DeAnthony Thomas, what was it, 94 yards and he's gone?
Goodbye.
He's so fast. I mean, the Oregon Ducks, congratulations. They'll probably wind up 2-3 the worst. You know, they beat Kansas State, and Klein had 2 picks. But Chip Kelly's got a machine there. Your boy, that's your boy. I'll give you props because you gave more props to Barnard this year, who I think now could be – and no worse, the second, third-round pick in the NFL draft, right? A running back who's solid between the tackles.
Yeah, he's nice. I mean, he had, I think he's up near 20 touchdowns. He ran for 143 yards. He is a great little, you know, great little back in the college game. I don't know that he projects that well to the pros. He's a senior, so he's up there on people's draft boards. He probably won't be a first-round pick. He'll probably be a second, third-round pick, I guess,
But I think him and Monty Ball from Wisconsin could not have very nice NFL careers.
Yeah, he's shifty,
you know?
Like that. He's got some speed.
Yeah.
He can run in the tackles, in between the tackles. I love this kid, DeAnthony Thomas. He's a little too small. So we were talking about this off air. Where does he play? What position does he play? But he's a guy you just need to get him on the field. I mean, at worst, you know, he's Teddy Ginn Jr. And at best,
or Eric Metcalf.
Maybe he's a little Eric Metcalf. half a third down, you know, just get him the ball type of player. Just get the ball in his hands type of player. Like a Darren Sproles, he can run the ball. He's a pure runner. He's a little bigger.
Guys like him, that speed and that type of jig move ability, him, Denard Robinson, they're going to make the NFL. If the third guy, if they're third down little scat backs or special teams guys, hey, listen, that can make you win one or two games in the season, right? I mean, listen, good special teams can change your whole game. And, you know, Kansas State, I don't feel bad for them. They had a great season, and Klein, you know, went out that way. But 35-17, I didn't think that they had enough defensively to slow down Oregon, and they really didn't, you know. And Chip Kelly is one heck of a coach.
Yeah, the thing with Oregon, though, is they're so hard to prepare for. I mean, there's nothing in your whole arsenal that prepares you for Oregon. How do you speed up the game the way they do? How do you have the speed the way they do? And, by the way, Mariota's only a redshirt freshman, and Johnny Manziel also a redshirt freshman coming back. But
plays tonight, yeah.
These guys are just unbelievable. The Ducks and you know, they were a field goal away from playing in the national championship game, and that's the game we wanted since middle of the season. We wanted to see Alabama, Oregon.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't take anything from Notre Dame. They didn't lose, so they deserve to be playing for the national championship. But yeah, in a plus one, Oregon would be waiting for somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's going to happen eventually. I guess, what is it, 2014, we'll get to see it. And, you know, it's been interesting. I think, obviously, you know, we broke down the bowl games last week, and, you know, it kind of is weird, the twists and turns of the different games and, you know, out of order. And, obviously, you know, tonight, even Texas A&M, Oklahoma, it's like, yeah, you kind of want to see it, but it's like you don't care. Everybody's waiting for Monday. You know, I think last night's game was kind of popular and probably had some good ratings, and there was a lot of interest. But for me, yeah, I'll see Johnny Manziel. Am I going to watch the whole game? No, because, I mean, I want to see Lakers, Clippers, and a little bit of Bulls, Heat, you know. But I watch some Johnny Manziel because I want to see if Landry Jones can go out with a win and maybe even improve his draft stock. But, you know, congrats to the Oregon Ducks, you know, and that was a good win. And I think Mariota, you know, getting the MVP with the Fiesta Bowl, I really believe that I believe that Oregon, even if Chip Kelly leaves, they're going to be in good hands. That's a system, and if they keep, you know, rocking that same way, they're exciting. And just to have, you know, some of these guys come back, and I'm sure they're going to have a great recruiting class, they're going to be the stars of the Pac-12 or whatever they're going to call it soon or whatever.
Pac-14
for a while. Yeah, you know, for those who don't know.
They might have to deal with some probation issues, though. They said that they use this recruiting service, and NCAA might come down on them, and they might have some scholarships taken away. Who knows? But unless they drop a major boom down on Oregon, they should be fine up there in Eugene. So they look like they have a great program going, and if Helfrich takes over, then that's fine. He's the offensive coordinator on a machine that just can't be stopped. So they'll be fine even if Chip Kelly moves on.
And they've got a great fan base, you know, and they put some good pros in the league. I mean, even the tight end from the Jacksonville Jaguars, George Reister, right? You know, and
George Reister,
big Oregon guy.
He's a fan of the show. We're a fan of his. They got Dan Fouts from back in the days, man.
Yeah, Diggy Dan. Diggy Dan. He's the man. So, man, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about the association. Last night, the Knicks just, you know, and I don't want to hear, oh, you know, the Spurs resting. I don't care. It was an impressive win. The Knicks are 13-3 at home, 22-10. You know, Amari had like four or five of his shots blocked. You know, he's still getting his legs together. But I got to tell you, when this team, and I was saying it last night, you know, on H2G Radio, talking to Beck and even Chris Broussard, man, I'm telling you, come March 1st, this Knick team, when they get it, all the horses going, and Rashid and Camby and Shumpert's healthy and Amari, I think the Knicks are going to be so deadly, man. I really do. And they play so great at home. And that's what it's about building up a championship. you gotta rock your home court. You gotta lock it down at home.
You know what? To me, you know, we've talked about the Knicks and defense and the rotation and everything, but the guy who's not only playing great, but is playing consistently excellent ball is J.R. Smith, and we need to seriously talk about him. He probably won't win Sixth Man of the Year because that'll probably be Jamal Crawford, but J.R. Smith, and more so for his consistency, because the thing with J.R. Smith is up until this year, he would be the guy that would come off the bench and just be at best Vinnie Johnson, you know, the microwave, come in and hit, you know, six threes and score 26 off the bench, and the next day he'd come in on the second day of the back-to-back and he'd go, you know, 2 for 9 and have a couple of assists, a couple of rebounds, and basically put up a dud performance. But he has been consistent in his offense, in his effort, in his defense, and so nothing but props to our boy J.R. Smith. So whatever he did in the off season, and, you know, not going to the club or whatever, whatever
he's
doing.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Ray? And this is big with NBA guys. He respects Mike Woodson, the coach. And I think all the players like the coach. But what's so invaluable that people forget, when you bring in a Camby and you bring in a Jason Kidd and you bring in a Rasheed Wallace, these guys know how to win. Kurt Thomas, they're professionals. And you see Chandler and Melo come back from the Olympics, and with this new focus, JR's like he can't not step up, right? He's got to just be on it. And, you know, credit to him, but I just think that the Knicks locker room, I mean, they're all getting along. They're friends. You know what I mean? It's a good feel. And I just think that, you know, right now we're number two in the East, but, you know, the Knicks are definitely well on their way. And, you know, it was a good win. Listen, anytime you could sweep the Spurs in a season series, you've done well, because not too many teams get to do that. And obviously the Spurs are great, you know, at 26-9. But I just like what the, you know, what the Knicks are doing. And it's very, very impressive. You know what I'm kind of surprised about? You know, we just take a spin around the league real quick. The Pacers, man. They, you know, we
they
talked about it a little bit
winning.
The other day, but they're starting to, they're starting to really do some stuff. You know, first place in the Central.
You know, it's funny because that roster, you look at that roster, and whether it be real or on fantasy, you think to yourself, who is it that's really getting it done on a consistent basis on that roster? Because when Danny Granger goes down, you're thinking, all right, David West, Paul George, George Hill, Roy Hibbert. You're thinking, okay, nobody out there scares me. But they have been consistently solid, right? And that consistently solid is fourth place in the Eastern Conference. I mean,
you know who's been helping out a lot too? Deshaun Stevenson. That was a good pickup because he plays great D, man. And he knows how to win. He did it in Dallas, you know. It's nice to see, you know.
Kudos to Indiana. They're definitely a surprise team in the East. And I tell you what, Atlanta's another surprise team. The number three team at 20-10, you know. And if you're in the East, here's my question. The team that's below the radar. Now, they might have chemistry issues at the end of the season because they're going to look totally different when you bring him back. But the Chicago Bulls, quiet as kept, just between you and me, they're 17-13 without Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
So if they can stay above 500 in that 4-5-6 range and then D. Rose comes back. No, I'm saying right now they're the fifth seed. And if D. Rose comes back. Wow.
Oh,
I mean, they
somebody's
going to
get upset.
Trouble.
You know, if they wind up in that 4-5 matchup, let's say against Indiana, Atlanta, or even if, you know, Brooklyn wakes up and crawls back in there. Look, nobody wants to play the Bulls. I can tell you that now, because before D-Rose went down, they were looking like they could have handled that Miami Heat team. I think the irony and the question, you know, and we'll see tonight. I mean, we got two great games on ESPN, you know, Bulls Heat and then Clippers Lakers. But Can the Celtics get it together to make the playoffs? Do they have to pull the trigger and try to get a DeMarcus Cousins or a Bargnani and make some moves? You know, I mean, this is...
But what do they have
not...
to give up, though? I mean, the young players aren't really playing, right? Avery Bradley just came back with the shoulder injury. And then
he'll probably help
Martin...
a lot.
Right, but what I'm saying, what do they have to trade? What do they have to give up? Because
maybe somebody gets right. Maybe somebody gets excited of the promise of a Sellinger who's looked really well, looked you know pretty strong early in the season. Maybe somebody needs
Brandon Bass, your boy.
Yeah, he's actually not played that great this season. Not as good as he was last year.
Who do they have? Jason Terry. They just signed him. Jeff Green. I mean, who? Who
well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe
roster?
It's a Jeff Green. Maybe you have to part ways with Avery Bradley. You're not going to trade Pierce. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to maybe get a salary dump from another team, you know, that somebody needs a dump salary. It's definitely going to be an interesting situation. I really don't know, I tell you. And then the Lakers, you know, I think the Lakers are going to step up tonight, and I think they're going to give the Clippers all they can handle. 15-16, the Lakers are trying to get to 500. Obviously, you know, the Clippers at 25-8, you know, one of the top teams in the league, they're incredible. I just think it's going to be one of those games where you see why Nash is Nash, Kobe is Kobe, and Dwight is Dwight, along with Gasol. I think that they're going to step up to the challenge. There's a lot of controversy going on. You know, some rumors and you know, that maybe Dwight and Kobe have been, you know, verbally and physically maybe even fighting a little bit after the Sixer-Laker game. We'll, you know, have to find out about that. It's not really coming out in the media. It's not that big of a deal, right? Shaq and Kobe had their beefs. But I don't know if when it comes down to it, are they going to have to say, you know what, this isn't working and he might not resign. Do we ship him right before or day before the deadline? Do we trade him and can we get a Lopez and Blatch? Can we get a Marshawn Brooks and Lopez? You know, what can they do? Because I don't know if Dwight's going to give them the jewelry. You know,
unless they get something in return, I think they'd rather take their chances and try to convince him in the off season. Because, well, if you believe that Dwight's not the answer, then you just answered the question. But my comment to that is, well, who is the answer? I mean, the Lakers
Dwight,
are getting old, and Kobe only has 2 more years of being Kobe at best, 2-3 more years at most, right? So if you need to strike while the iron, you either have to strike while the iron is hot or get somebody that can become the next Kobe for 10 years to come. So to me, Dwight Howard on paper is that guy, the guy that lets you win today and you build a team around him for the next 5 to 7 years. So perfect, except that it's not working in practice. Now, I feel he's not healthy, and his back isn't right. And
he's probably 85%.
And part of why he was as good as he was that he's just not only super athletic, but, you know, he was basically indestructible. This guy wasn't missing games. He was night in and night out, back-to-backs. He was just doing well. That's great. You know, that's one of the benefits of drafting a kid out of high school, right? He's still really young. So I give Dwight another half a season. I don't think the Lakers should move him. I don't know who they'd move him for. I mean, unless they want to go to the Nets, nobody else is even in the ballpark.
Hey, how about DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh, see? I mean, unless you think Kobe will slap some sense into him, he needs a change of pace. And a change of scenery, I should say, and get out of Sacramento for sure. But the kid was a knucklehead at Kentucky.
The talent is so ridiculous. If
I
he
know,
can
it's
get
intoxicating. It's intoxicating.
Yeah. We'll see.
But
if he gets
Kobe's
it together,
got
we'll,
the patience
you know.
To deal with him. Kobe's going to get on him. He needs to be mentally tough, Cousins, and be willing to be flexible because Kobe will get on him. His first practice when he does some foolery, some foolishness, you know, your boy some tomfoolery. Your boy will get on him. Kobe will be like, DeMarcus, look, we got to talk. Basically, I talk, you listen, and you need to leave that nonsense outside. We're here to win championships. We're not here to, you know, be knuckleheads and be hot dogs. So I just don't know that he fits. But if you don't believe that Dwight's the man, then yeah, you do have to make a move.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it will all play itself out. It'll be interesting to see what moves get done, if Dallas does something, you know, and if, you know, if this whole Rudy Gay thing pans out, or obviously Toronto might ship Bagnani or Calderon. So, you know, it's going to get interesting, and things are heating up, and it's definitely going to be interesting. But you know what? Let's switch the pace, and let's take a quick break, and let's just get into it, man. It's NFL Wild Card Weekend. We'll be right back, Ray and Tay.
We're back.
Yes,
and we're back to talk NFL Wild Card Weekend. I love this weekend. First of all, to get your schedules right, the games are Saturday night and then Sunday afternoon. So don't you know, get your schedule right. So if you need to, you know, rearrange your chores and your duties,
hey,
and whatever with a significant other, 4:30 and 8 p.m.
Yep.
Eastern are the day
NBC.
Are the games on Saturday. They're both on
NBC.
NBC.
You got the game. Yeah.
And then on Sunday, you've got the Indy at Baltimore at 1 and Seattle at Washington at 4:30. How great is it to be a football fan in the Beltway on Sunday?
Oh, my gosh.
They're loving it down there.
They are loving it down there. It's going to be hyped up and crazy. But let's start off with them Bengals going, after they did it last year, right, going back to the Houston Texans. I guess the way I want to look at it, I mean, let's just go sort of like segment by segment and position. For me, Dalton or Schaub, who do you think is maybe better, or who do you think is going to be better in this game? You know, for me, I trust Andy Dalton right now a little bit more. Schaub is, I don't even know if he's necessarily better. I mean, he's done it longer, right? Dalton's only second year. And, you know, Dalton has had, you know, a really nice, you know, a nice NFL season. You know, when you look at Dalton, he almost had 4,000 yards, you know, 3,600, you know, could have been better, but 27 touchdowns. I like that. And I think that, to me, he's dangerous. Schaub, the question I have with him, and he threw for 4,000 yards and only 22 touchdowns, it's the interceptions. He throws some bad interceptions, and right there I have to give the edge to, you know, to the Bengals. What are you thinking about just the quarterback?
Well, remember last year, these two teams played the last game of the season, and they also played this round of the playoffs, the wild card round of the playoffs, but it was T.J. Yates leading the Houston Texans. So Schaub actually didn't play in this game, and I've been saying that this Houston team and this Houston offense, when it's right, is about as good as it gets, because I really love the balance between Arian Foster in the running game and the passing game with Owen Daniels and, of course, Andre Johnson. Problem is the depth at receiver. But I like Schaub. I mean, I think Schaub really has a lot to prove now. He's got a lot of weight on his shoulder because they've lost 3 out of 4, and he's going to take it upon himself, I think, to have a good game. And let me throw you for a curve. Now, Houston is actually the answer to this trivia, but the Cincinnati Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that? And in 91, they beat Houston, and then the Houston Oilers, and the next game they lost, and that was the Bo Jackson game. So that was the game in 91 where Bo Jackson, you know, tears up his hip. So that was the last time, January of 91, that the Bengals have won a playoff game. It's a long drought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, I think for me, obviously, we just got to throw this out there. Your Super Bowl picks were Green Bay and the Texans. Mine were the Niners and Texans. But I can honestly say I can see the Texans losing this game, Or I could see them going to the Super Bowl. That's what's so funny about this team, right? You just then they had a great season. Let's not, you know, even as the third seed, they had a great season. But I just think that at football and the playoffs, it's about timing, right? Obviously, the Packers and the Giants both went in as wild cards and went all the way and won the Super Bowl. So to me, I think the Bengals are peaking and are hot at the right time. You know, Ben Jarvis winds up with 1,000 yards. A.J. Green, 1,300 yards. I just think their defensive line, Atkins, Johnson, these guys are like, they're just like really mammoths. That defensive line, and give a shout-out to Pac-Man Adam Jones. He goes by Adam Jones now. Quiet as kept, he has solidified a great secondary over there in Cincinnati, and he's playing great ball. And now he's really backing up that talent that he had when he first came into the league.
Number 5 pick out of West Virginia. I mean, this guy was a really talented guy. Yeah, forget about the off-the-field stuff. He's a talented football player.
Yeah. So for me, I'm sort of like my head is like, okay, I picked the Texans. I think the Texans are going to go on and win. But I just, for some reason, I think the Bengals are going to...
Oh, make a decision. Don't be wishy-washy.
Oh, you stop it.
Give me a score.
I'm telling you. All right. You know what? I'm going to shock the world. Go against my Super Bowl picks. I'm going to say, how about them Bengals? And I think the Bengals go in to Reliant Stadium and upset my father-in-law, and they win 23-21.
Oof. Okay.
Bengals.
I got a close game, too, but I think this team that I picked to win the Super – or not to win, but to go to the Super Bowl, and a team that, despite losing 3 out of 4, had a great season all in all, the Texans finally put it together, and I think they win 24-20, defend home turf.
Yeah. Listen, I agree. I'm just throwing out a flyer out there, throwing out a flyer. I think Foster's the key. He gets 100 yards on a touchdown. They definitely get the W. So now let's go to the rematch, their third game in 4 weeks. You got the Minnesota Vikings going out to Lambeau Field to play the Green Bay Packers. I mean, look, obviously this game is easy in terms of edges and matchups, right? I kind of like the Vikings D. You know, we both know the Vikings got the better running game. The Packers have the better receivers and quarterback by a mile. I think special teams is probably maybe equal. Maybe I have to give an edge to Green Bay since Percy Harvin's not there. I just don't think the Vikings have enough to win this game. I will say this. I love the defense. I love the Harrison Smith. I love Greenway. I like
right.
Jared Allen.
Winfield is playing. He's probably going to play. Charles Woodson on the other side is going to play. He's also probable with the collarbone. So
but I
as
think
good
that
as
their
you
defense,
can be in terms of full strength on both sides.
Well, imagine this, right? All year, Green Bay has not been healthy. But right now, Clay Matthews is just, third game back, and you're going to get Woody. I think this is the first time you're going to be able to see Jennings, Nelson, Cobb, and James Jones, all four of them.
And throw in Jermichael Finley, too.
Throw in Jermichael Finley. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to – I just think the key is, can AP keep those guys off the field and do his magic? And I think he can. I think Woodson will help because he's a better tackler. But I think the Vikings are going to give Green Bay all they can handle. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers can handle it all and, could easily be MVP again. I got to say, Green Bay wins in a dogfight, but they wind up winning 27-20, and they beat the Vikings.
Okay. The one thing going for the Vikings is the fact, Adrian Peterson is the one thing going for the Vikings. Let's not mince words here.
But Ponder's been playing better.
Exactly. Well, that was my point. Ponder has not thrown an interception in the last 3 games. So as much as we were killing him and as much as I was saying he wasn't even that spectacular at Florida State, let alone, first-round draft pick and a starting quarterback, So I'm not a huge Christian Ponder fan. Maybe he'll grow into, you know, his position as a starting quarterback for the Vikings, but I think he's one of the weaker links on that offense. But he's been playing well as of late, last three games. The problem for me is that he's going to be behind, and they're going to force him to make plays. So Adrian might get his 100, 120 yards, but I think it'll be irrelevant as long as he scores, as long as he doesn't score. So it'll be like the first game that they played where he ran for, what did he run for, 200 in that game, right? He ran for 210 in that game, something like that? Yeah, he's got
210, and they lost
yards.
24-14.
But he didn't score a touchdown.
He ran for
210 without a touchdown. So as long as they bend, not break, because I think what's going to happen is he won't get that many touches, Adrian. I just think Green Bay is going to be ahead all game. I like Green Bay to win this game 31-20, maybe 11, but maybe even 31-17, so something like that. I think ultimately Minnesota is going to be behind all game, which takes the ball out of Adrian Peterson's hands, forces your boy Christian Ponder to make plays, and I think ultimately he's going to throw a pick or two. And not really his fault, but playing to the scoreboard, they're going to force his hand and force the game plan to be more of a passing game plan.
The one thing I could see helping Minnesota is the defense causing turnovers. And I think that with the Green Bay offensive line, I think, you know, they sacked, I was about to say Favre, they sacked Rodgers five times last time. So they can definitely get to him. And that line is hurt. But, yeah, you know, we definitely both have the Packers. And it's going to be fun. So now let's slide on over to Sunday. We got the rookie going in to Baltimore. You going to go play against Ray Ray on maybe his last game at home at M&T Bank Field? I mean, woo, it is going to be, woo, the intro is just going to be wow, watching Ray out there dancing, doing his thing for maybe the last time. I mean, listen, Luck has had a great season, 4,300 passing yards, what, 18 interceptions, 23 touchdowns. He's been a great rookie. You know, Ballard can do his thing. I mean, you know, the guy didn't play all season and wound up with 800 rushing yards. That's pretty impressive. But I got to say, to me, you know, Flacco, this guy, first 4 years, he's been in the playoffs and has done well in the playoffs every year. And, you know, people
got
on him a little bit.
He run four road games. I mean, the guy has been the only quarterback in NFL history to go to the playoffs in each of his first 5 years. That is super, super impressive in this day and age of quarterbacks, the pressure that's on the quarterbacks, free agency, changing personnel. So I give Flacco all the credit in the world for that. And he does play well in these playoff games. And frankly, they should have been in the playoffs in the Super Bowl last year, right? If Torrey Smith catches the ball or
Brady
make that field goal. He outplayed Brady in the AFC Championship.
He should have been
in the Super Bowl. And then he lays a dud for the regular season. I mean, he had four or five
good
games.
He threw for 3,800 yards, 23 touchdowns. You know, it wasn't – or 22 touchdowns. It wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't bad. He had some shining moments. I just think he was inconsistent,
but in his fifth year on a team that should have gone to the Super Bowl last year, you expected more.
Oh, it was a down season, yes. It was a down season. And Ray Rice had 1,100 rushing yards. And, you know, I got to say, though, Torrey Smith took it to the next level. Now, neither receiver had 1,000 yards receiving, but Anquan Boldin, 921, and Torrey Smith, 855, they both are explosive. Anquan, because of the fact that he can get the yak yards after the catch, and he's just got solid hands. But Torrey Smith, and I like Pitta, and then I also like a little bit of mixing it up with Bernard Pierce. I just think when it comes down to it, the Colts defense is not going to be able to stop Pierce and Rice. I think Torrey Smith might catch them a little bit deep. I think, unfortunately, they probably will get a pick. I think Andrew Luck will probably get picked off at least once. You know, they're going to try to be physical with Reggie Wayne, who had a great season at 1,355 receiving yards. I think Baltimore, the emotion and everything, and, you know, there's emotion for Chuck Pavano, but you know what? He came back last week. I think now having Ray back and everybody's going to be hyped up, I think the Ravens handle this one, but a little bit closer than people think. I think they win 26-20, Baltimore Ravens.
You know, I think the Ravens win as well, but here's a scenario. if the Ravens don't score enough touchdowns and they end up kicking field goals,
mm-hmm.
and this game is close in the fourth quarter, despite the fact that he threw those 18 interceptions. He had 23 touchdowns, Andrew Luck. And I tell you what, for being not exactly your household names, but he's got a little rapport there with Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, Donnie Avery, Dwayne Allen,
yeah.
Colby Freener, like his four receivers and his two tight ends.
His homies.
What's up, homie?
Rolling with the homies.
Exactly. I don't think you want to be, even at M&T Bank Stadium, can we get a sexier name than that? Even in Baltimore, I don't think they want to put the ball in Andrew Luck's hands for a final drive. So Baltimore better score touchdowns, and they better, when they get into the red zone, they better not put up field goals and have it be, you know, a 20-17 game in the fourth quarter, giving Andrew Luck the ball, because if that's the case, I'll take Andrew Luck. I think he's got the gumption and the talent and the skills to bring them back. So to me, it all comes down to first three quarters, putting up touchdowns and basically letting Ray Rice and getting those wide receivers loose and letting your boy Torrey Smith from Maryland designing some plays where he could use his speed and his athletic ability down the field. So I agree the Ravens win, but don't let it be a close game, because I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts pull it off if they're able to keep them close. If the Colts D is able to hold them to field goals, watch out for the Colts.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I just think that, I like this rookie and Luck, and you know these rookies, him, Griffin, and Wilson, they're not rookies anymore, right? I mean they're big boys. They got on their big boy pants, and
yeah.
I just don't know, man. That's a tough win in Baltimore. That's going to be a tough one. So
yeah,
yeah,
hold on.
We got
a caller. Let's see what the caller. If we want to talk some football with this caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Well, you know, if I ever call in, football is the last thing I'd want to talk about.
Uh-oh, what do you want to talk about?
First off, you the world of basketball never gets boring, gentlemen. You have to figure that out. Like today, the subject of the day, because soup of the day is overrated, is the Boston Celtics right now actually sit at the 14-17 record, a game behind the 76ers for the 8th slot, and only two games behind the Raptors and the Magic, and the Pistons for the 10th, 11th, and 12th slot. So they are riding really, really close to even not just being close out of the playoffs, missing it all entirely and getting a high lottery pick. So what do you think? The Celtics are some of that old magic's gone. In fact, they should be using that magic to repair Kevin Garnett's knees. But they're old. And I don't think they have a chance this year to even contend to make the playoffs. I think there's enough young talent that even the Detroit Pistons can even make a run right now, and they're 10 games under 500. What do you gentlemen think?
I got to believe. I think the Celtics will pull it out. Pierce alone, and now having Avery Bradley back, who is their defensive specialist and really could potentially help solidify that backcourt. I think that Rondo, Pierce, Garnett, and maybe they make a move. I think they have enough to get at least the 8th or 7th seed. You know, it's still early in the season. The Celtics, they'll get it together. Doc Rivers, they'll get it together. Detroit doesn't have enough. Cleveland doesn't have enough. Some of these other fringe teams. You know, it's going to be a battle, Brooklyn, Boston, Philly, to see what happens. But I think the Celtics will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're looking at, I had them in the top two or three before the season, but now I have to modify that, and I think they're fighting for that 6, 7, or 8 spot. I think that ultimately they'll catch Philly, they'll catch Milwaukee, maybe Indiana drops a little bit, Brooklyn maybe moves up, Chicago maybe moves up. So really, right now, Boston at best is the 6th best team in the conference, but maybe 7, 8, 9. And like Tay said, I think that their depth of experience, especially with Garnett and Rondo and Pierce. And I think Courtney Lee needs to get a swift kick in the butt, and so does Brandon Bass. Sullinger looks like he can give them some minutes. And again, Avery Bradley coming back in the backcourt. And Jason Terry, right? Where's Jason Terry been? I mean, he's doing his thing, but ultimately down the stretch, he's a clutch player either starting or coming off the bench. So I think they have enough bullets in the holster to get to the playoffs. Now, what they can do in the playoffs is a different story because it looks like right now if they were to be 1-2-3, or if they were to be 6-7-8, they play 1-2-3. So that's a whole other story, what they do against Miami, New York, Atlanta, Chicago. But I do believe that they'll sneak into the playoffs, the Celtics.
I think you gentlemen are both wrong, but that's okay because opinions are just like butts. Everybody has one.
The good thing is we got 31 games down, so that means we got another 51 games to go. So we've got a lot of talking to do to see if they do indeed make the playoffs. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Keep on calling. Keep listening. We tend to focus more on the NBA starting, you know, this week and next week as the NFL playoffs start to wind down.
We'll be all NBA all the time coming up very soon. So definitely keep checking us out. Definitely.
Woo-hoo! All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, man. So yeah, I mean, definitely. I think that's an interesting call, and I can see where people are down on the Celtics. You know, I mean, definitely we're going to get right back to the playoff preview, but I do think Boston will get it together. And let me tell you this, right? Let's just say they were the sixth seed, and they're playing the number 3 seed, Indiana. Seven game, you know, in a 5-game series or whatever, they can't beat Indiana. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they
can. That 3 seed might be Chicago, though, eventually, or Brooklyn if they get their act together.
Right, definitely. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting how it all pans out, but I got to believe the Celtics will be at the war. Even the 8th, they'll make the playoffs. They'll definitely.
All right, well, here's our last NFL playoff game. And the word of the day is rookie quarterback. Well, I guess that's two words. So we've got
rookie
quarterbacks playing each other. RG3 and
Robert
Russell
Griffin.
Wilson. What
Russell,
do you think?
Last name Wilson. Well, look, you got to say this, right? Russell outplays Flynn in training camp. You know, he's got a head coach that really believes in competition, gets a chance, throws for 3,100 yards, 26 touchdowns. He's just a leader of men. He was great at NC State, comes over to Wisconsin 1 year, becomes captain, and he just solidifies, you know, that team. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy who doesn't have to but can run. He rushed for, you know, 489 yards. That's pretty impressive. I mean, and he's not a running quarterback per se, but he can run. And I think what I like about Russell that's different from RG3, I think Russell is always keeping his eyes downfield. So he keeps the ball alive like we saw on that Sunday night game against the Niners. He'll keep the play alive. And even like how he did when he threw the touchdown to Golden Tate against Green Bay, he keeps it alive and then he throws it downfield. He's got a great arm. I think this game, it comes down to the cornerbacks, Browner, Shermer, and, you know, even having Trufant back.
Cam Chancellor, that safety, giving that support.
Yeah, but I think they will mess up the rhythm of the play-action pass of Pierre Garçon, Moss, Hankerson. I think they'll throw off the timing enough that they'll be able to bring RG down or force him to scramble. I think the Seahawks, this is going to be one of the hardest hitting games you've seen. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying from Morris to Lynch, that battle, I mean, for Morris, you know, 1,600 yards as a rookie, and Lynch, who just does it every year at 1,590, oh, man, this is going to be a dogfight. I used to think it'd be the Redskins, but right now I'm on the bandwagon. I'm down with Sidney Rice and Golden Tate. I'm down with the Lynch mob. I'm down with the defense. You know, I love their linebackers. Wagner's had a great year. You know, Clemens is a beast. I think Russell Wilson goes into FedEx Field and decides that he's going to send it regular mail. Or maybe UPS, and they're going to get the W in a dogfight. I think 2017, 23-20, 23-20. 23-20, Seahawks beat the Redskins.
Okay.
And a bloodbath.
I like where you're going with that. I like where you're going with that. Now, remember that the Seahawks are actually have a better record than the Redskins. So the Seahawks are 11-5, Redskins are 10-6. So the only reason why this game is in Washington is because Washington won the NFC East, right? So they're truly not a road, you know, usually the road team is the true underdog, but they're not the underdog here.
But you know, that win in Chicago, Ray, that got them ready for this game, to go on the road and win. When they beat the Bears, that was the most impressive win I've seen from them all year in terms of it being a road win.
True. I think that the Seahawks really, what's going to happen in this game is the quarterbacks are going to negate each other. I think each will maybe throw an interception and have one, you know, rookie mistake in the game. But ultimately, the Washington Redskins actually have a good defense at times, right? They can stop the run, so that's going to give Marshawn Lynch some issues. But I think Seattle's defense is just a little bit better. And Seattle's defense will create turnovers. And I think that there's enough game film where they can get ready for that read option that you know, Morris and Griffin play. And if those corners can lock up, like you said, Garcon and Hankerson on the outside, then they can keep this game to the middle of the field. Seattle's just tough. Seattle's just too tough. I think that, like I said, the quarterbacks negate each other, and the game is going to be decided by Seattle's defense basically containing 20-20, containing the Redskins. I think the Redskins might kick 3 or 4 field goals, but Seattle's a little too tough. I think Marshawn Lynch finds the end zone a couple times, and I think Seattle wins something like 23-17.
And don't forget, now Russell Wilson, he's been running a little bit of the read option. They've been introducing some different things later in the season, and I kind of like that. I think the confidence this guy has, you know, beating the Niners the way they did, they'd be a 12-win team, right, if they, you know, that game against the Cardinals week one, you know, when the refs sort of messed up that call, too.
They should have lost to Green Bay. They got away with the Golden Tate push off.
Okay, so that's fair. So they're 11-win team. They are who we thought they were. But they're tough. Yeah, it's great. But, yeah, man, so we both I guess we really only differ on Cincinnati and Texans, and to be honest, I think the Texans will probably win that too. I'm just going out on a limb being risky because, you know what, the Bengals, I want them to win because they knocked my Steelers out of the playoffs. So I want to see Cincinnati do good. And you know
what,
actually their defense, it's been impressive. Even you got to admit, I mean, the way they took care of Baltimore, the way they've, you know, played defense all year, the Bengals are tough. They got a nice defensive team. You know.
It's funny because if it weren't for all these rookie quarterbacks, Cincinnati would be the best story in the league right now. I mean, they're very, very compelling, you know, story. Marvin Lewis, it's funny. He has these up and down years.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah, he just can't get over the hump getting out of that first round of the playoffs. I can't believe they haven't won a game since 91, the game before the Bo Jackson game. Wow.
Well, remember, they played Pittsburgh, and we knocked out Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer, yeah, when they rolled
his
knee.
Yeah, early in the game, that was
05. Yeah, that's when you went to the Super Bowl, right?
And then the Jets smoked them, you know, after they played them the last week of the season, and then the Jets beat them in the playoffs. So, you know, But listen, another great show. You know, we thank people for listening. We thank our caller. Obviously, Monday we will review these great games. We'll, you know, update you on the coaching moves, but we are going to be talking about the national championship. Alabama versus Notre Dame. Wow. So tonight, who you got tonight, Texas A&M or Oklahoma?
I like Oklahoma. Even though Texas A&M got the Heisman Trophy winner, I like Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know what? I'll just go on a whim, and I'll go with Texas A&M. I think Oklahoma's a little inconsistent, but I know what you're saying. I think they'll probably pull it out. It just depends on Landry, right, how he plays. So, But look out for the Clippers tonight against L.A. I got the Lakers, and I think the Bulls are going to give the Heat a little trouble too. But LeBron will drop 40.
Yeah. So we had a great show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spending an hour with us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you on the flip side. Catch you on Monday.
Yep. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends. We out. Right.
Rip and take today. Always time on the microphone.
Or start, y'all.